while you're waiting for your breakthrough, Satan will do everything he can to get you to compromise. So I make it a point that when I'm going through my checklist, Jerry Savelle, you keep your life pure.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Jeremy Pearsons and his special guest Jerry Savelle bring attention to the many tactics and strategies Satan uses to discourage believers and cause them to compromise their faith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I've been on here all this week for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and we are thrilled once again to be in your home or your office, wherever you're watching this broadcast today. I believe that there is a word from the Lord for you today that will change your life forever. So stay plugged into this. Stay tuned. And we are here with Dr. Jerry Savelle once again. Thank you, sir, for being a part of these broadcasts. And not just these broadcasts, but this ministry, this family. I mean, you guys have been in it for a long time. I mean, you and your family have brought new meaning to the word loyalty. I mean, you have stuck with my grandparents, and I so appreciate that about you and that the friendship that I see that you and my grandfather have and your families together, that gives me, that's inspiring to me. And I look for those friendships in my life, you know, because you don't have that with everybody.
Yeah.
But man, when you find one guy that'll stick with you for 40 years, you have found a friend. So thank you, sir.
Well, you know, we have a phrase here in Texas, you dance with the one that brung you.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brother Copeland, man, the impact he made on my life 40 years ago, I cannot imagine my life without Kenneth Copeland in it.
Well, I know they feel the same about you guys. You know, I mean, these conventions for the last 30 years that you've been a part of, they would not be the same without Jerry Savelle.
You know, I actually started preaching with your grandfather before your grandmother did. That's how far back we go.
See? you guys have some stories.
When I first came into this, it was hard to get Gloria to even testify, much less preach. But there's no problem getting her to preach today.
Anymore. Not at all. And you guys have got some amazing experience together. But not only together, but just your experience with God and His Word and what He's brought you to and what He's brought you through.
Yeah.
And that is really outlined beautifully in your new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win, which, if I understand correctly, is book number 40-something for you. Is that right?
45, maybe?
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah.
Wow. That is wonderful. Well, called to battle, destined to win. That is what we've been talking about. And we've been discussing what we need to do when we step up to the battle. We've gone back and we've seen, okay, I'm at a crossroads, I'm at a challenge, I'm being met with adversity, I'm going to arise, I'm going to get up on the inside, I'm going to stand up and face this instead of running away, instead of quitting. I'm going to look this thing head on. I'm going to surprise the devil
with
the words coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I may even surprise myself or my family by how confident I'm going to be in the middle of this.
That's
we talked about Hebrews chapter 10. Don't cast away your confidence. You have need of endurance. So while we're enduring, you've told us that enduring is not just sitting around waiting and wondering and questioning, but enduring is outlasting your enemy.
The devil.
So we've spent the last several days talking about what to do in that time of waiting. Quickly go through where we began and where we've come to so that we can catch those who haven't been a part of this broadcast. We can catch them up quickly, but then take us where we're going today.
Well, I like, and I learned this from your grandfather, you know, him being a pilot and familiar with checklists with aircraft. You know, the first small airplane I ever flew in was with your grandfather, and it was his first airplane after he went into the ministry, his little Skylane, Cessna Skylane. And, of course, I'd never been in a small aircraft before. I'd only been in a commercial aircraft twice and certainly was not in the cockpit in that experience. But sitting there in that airplane with your grandfather, one of the first things I noticed was he pulled out this checklist. And he went through this checklist before we ever took off. Mm-hmm. I noticed that he did that every time we got in the airplane. No matter how long he'd been flying, no matter how much experience he'd had as a pilot, he always went through that checklist. Mm-hmm. And so I caught hold of that concept, and I thought, well, that'll work in my walk of faith. You know, I'm endeavoring to learn how to walk by faith, and there's certain things I'm learning from the Word about what to do. And I like to call it between amen and there it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I've prayed according to Mark 11:23 and 24. I believe I receive. Amen. Now, what do you do to get to the manifestation? So that's that time frame between amen and there it is. And I noticed that, you know, there were opportunities to get discouraged. I noticed there were opportunities to give up. There were opportunities to say it's not working. And so as I begin to see results, I would make a mental note of what I did that produced those results, and then I would watch to see if I repeated that, could I get results again? And I discovered that, yes, you can. And so I started writing these things down. Here's what I did that caused results. Now, if I do this again, can I get the same results the next time I'm in a battle? And it never failed. It always produced results. So this is what I call my faith checklist, if you please, mm-hmm. of what to do between amen and there it is. While you're going through this battle and you're waiting for the manifestation, here's the things that I ask myself, am I doing? And if I go through this checklist and I'm doing these things, then I know that I'm going to get results. It's not if it works, it's when it works. Sure. It's just a matter of time. So just briefly going back through them again, and then we'll get to the last two points that we haven't covered yet. But number one, I make sure that I get myself into the presence of God. Mm-hmm. While I'm waiting for my breakthrough, I don't want to be in this arena of doubt and discouragement and condemnation and fear. I want to be in an arena of faith and hope and peace and courage, and that can only come by being in the presence of God. So the first thing that I do, the first thing I check about myself is I ask myself, am I in God's presence? And if not, then do whatever I need to do to get in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. We talked about you can do that through praise and thanksgiving. You can do that by listening to inspirational and motivational faith-building tapes. You can get in the presence of God that way. You can do it by listening to inspirational music, you know, faith-building music. Mm-hmm. You can do it by praying in the Holy Spirit, which is one of my favorite and is usually the one that I lean on the most, sure. is praying in the Holy Spirit. Number two is I don't rely on what I already know about God and what I've already experienced about God. I decide and I determine that I'm going to crave God more. Mm-hmm. You know, since I've got this period of time, and I don't know how long this period of time is going to be, it could be all day, it could be all week, it could be all month. Then during this period of time, while I'm waiting for the manifestation, then I'm going to hunger for God more. I'm going to crave God more than ever before. Mm-hmm. Keep that burning desire on the inside to know Him. Number three, that's going to lead to a deeper relationship with Him.
Yeah.
As I said in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, after 20 years of walking with God, after 20 years of probably being the person who knew Christ better than anybody else on the planet at that time, his attitude was still, after 20 years, that I might know Him. Mm-hmm. I want to become more deeply and more intimately acquainted with Him.
Yeah.
So I make that determination in my heart that I'm going to get into His presence. I'm going to crave Him more. I want to deepen my relationship with Him. I'm going to, number four, press into Jesus, do whatever I have to do, you know, cast down imaginations, cast down frustration, cast down discouragement, cast down worry. If I'm dealing with all those things, they are designed by Satan to keep me from pressing into Christ. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to press into Him and lay everything else aside. And then number four, rekindle your desire for God's Word.
Yeah.
You know, you remember when Jesus was raised from the dead and a couple of the disciples were walking down this dusty road, mm-hmm. and they were discussing some things that they had read from one of the prophets, but they didn't understand what they were reading. And suddenly Jesus appeared to them, and he began to expound upon what the prophet meant. Mm-hmm. And then he left. And they said to one another after he left, did not our hearts burn within us as he shared the word? Now, that's what I look for, is that burning heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm always after, is did not our hearts burn as he shared the word with us? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, rekindling your desire for God's word. If you have ever, now I know you know what I'm talking about, Jeremy, if you have ever spent time in the Word and suddenly something that a few days ago did not make sense, but all of a sudden you see the light.
Yeah.
It explodes in your heart. What happens when that takes place in your life? You want more. Yeah. I mean, you just can't get enough. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, man, that relates to something else you read over here in Matthew, and you read that and you think, wow, I wonder if that's what Amos meant. And the next thing you know, Ezekiel comes to mind and something Isaiah said. And then, of course, man, everything I read, eventually I get back to something Paul said, you know, and I'm reading what Paul said. The next thing you know, man, you got a treasure hunt going here, and you just can't get enough. And once that happens to you, then you truly understand what I'm talking about when I say rekindle your desire for the Word. Because one of the things that happens to a lot of Christians is while they're waiting for this breakthrough, Satan will try to convince them that won't work for you. Mm-hmm. You know, that might work for Kenneth Copeland, but you're not Kenneth Copeland. And the next thing you know, if you listen to those lies, then you're being taken away from the Word rather than being driven into the Word. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing you can do when you're in that time frame called between amen and there it is get away from the Word. You know, you've got to keep feeding your spirit the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the worst thing that could happen to someone who is between amen and there it is listen to the lies of Satan and allow him to convince you that the Word really doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Well, if it worked, then why aren't you seeing results? If it really worked, then why does the situation seem to be getting worse? He's trying to distract you and keep you from the Word, because the devil knows that he has no defense from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. In fact, Jesus said that once the Word is sown in a man's heart, what's the first thing Satan tries to do? Steal the Word.
Yeah.
Why? Because he knows it's the Word that makes the difference. Mm-hmm. He knows that it's the Word that enables you to overcome all of his operations. Mm-hmm. The thing that Satan fears more than anything else is a believer who's in the Word. Mm-hmm. I believe that you and I, as believers who have a desire for more of God's Word, is Satan's worst nightmare. He really don't care if you go to church as long as you don't get any Word. Mm-hmm. He really don't care if you own every, you know, translation of the Bible you can get your hands on, as long as you never get in the Word. He really doesn't care how many camp meetings and conventions you go to, as long as you sleep in them and don't pay attention, you know, and never get the Word. But the moment that the Word of God is no longer just a black book covered in leather, you know, with a bunch of stories in it, when all of a sudden this is your life, this is the way you live every day, this is what you depend on.
You hear it and then do it.
First place and final authority, and you're not a hearer anymore, but a doer, then you become Satan's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And he's going to do everything he possibly can to keep you out of the Word, particularly while you're waiting for that breakthrough. So this is why I put on my checklist to make sure that I have rekindled my desire for the Word. Don't ever run from the Word. Run to it. And then number six, and this one may sound a little strange to some people, but I think it's important. And number six is make sure you keep your life pure.
It's true.
Keep your life pure. Now, you say, well, why is that so important while I'm waiting for my breakthrough? Because discouragement can lead to compromise. You know, when you're going through a battle and it looks like nothing's working.
That's true.
And you're not doing these things. You're not getting in the presence of God. You're not hungering for God. You're not feeding on the Word. You're listening to all these lies of the devil. If you're not careful, your discouragement is going to lead to compromise. Mm. And this is where people, while they're discouraged, is usually open the door to sin. They open the door to doing something that they know better than doing. You know, they get into to things that they know is not in agreement with God's mm-hmm. word. You know, I've known people that, bless their hearts, and I feel sorry for them, but yet at the same time, they should have known better. But, you know, they're standing, they're believing, and it seems like nothing's working, and they're not doing these things that I'm talking about here. And the next thing you know, man, they're tempted to go pick up some pornographic material, or they're tempted to go, you know, it's not working. I might as well go drink, or I might as well go find me a joint. This stuff's not working. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do.
If I can't get my finances met this way,
yeah,
I better do it.
Yeah, do something unethical, you know, compromise their integrity, you know. And that's the reason that I put that in my checklist, because it's important that while I'm waiting for this breakthrough, I realize that I could get under a lot of pressure while I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. I realize that Satan, you know, Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Mm-hmm. So I realize that he's going to try to find an open door any way he possibly can. And I'd hate to think that I was on the verge of a breakthrough and then I blew it because I compromised. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't make good sense to me. Yeah. I mean, you know, somebody said one time, Brother Savelle, have you ever been tempted to commit adultery? No. How can you say that? No. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I settled it 43 years ago when I said I do to Carolyn, and I wasn't even serving God then, that I became a one-woman man.
Yeah.
And now that I am serving Christ, you know, how much more that commitment is important to me. Not only that, but I'd have to break covenant with God. I'd have to break covenant with my wife. Not only that, but I have stood too long.
Yeah.
I've prayed too long. I've done these things that I'm talking about. Why blow it over some dumb sin that is not even going to last but a few minutes?
Uh-huh.
I'm not throwing my life away over that. I'm not throwing my breakthrough away over something that foolish.
Sure.
You know, but it is a real situation that while you're waiting for your breakthrough, Satan will do everything he can to get you to compromise. So I make it a point that when I'm going through my checklist, Jerry Savelle, you keep your life pure. Don't you open the door to the devil in any way.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your life pure because there's too much at stake here.
That's true.
Amen?
Amen.
Not only my destiny, but my immediate breakthrough.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give the devil an opportunity to stop what I know God wants happening in my life.
It's part of the reason at all of our meetings, the conventions, you'll hear my grandfather stand up on particularly in a partner service where we've invited all our partners in the year to be there. He'll say this. I can't tell you how many times I've heard him say it. He said, I've made a commitment before the Lord to keep this ministry pure financially, to keep this ministry pure sexually, to keep this ministry pure in every
That's
way.
Right.
And he says it, and he says it, and he says it, and he does that.
And do you suppose that might have anything to do with why they're so blessed?
It might have something to do with it,
I think that certainly would cover it, you know, that the reason this ministry is blessed like it is, the reason it prospers the way it does. And I've been around it 40 years, and I can testify, you know, that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland keep their lives pure.
Mm-hmm.
They keep the finances of this ministry pure. They keep their lives sexually pure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that has everything to do, along with all these other things that they do, but that has everything to do with why this ministry just keeps growing. It keeps increasing. It keeps experiencing the blessing of God. It keeps prospering, you know.
Yeah.
And that's one of the major reasons.
Yeah.
So I would say if you're going through a battle right now and what you're facing looks impossible, determine, make the decision, put this on your checklist right along with all these other things we've been talking about, that you're going to keep your life pure. Paul said it this way in Ephesians, neither give place to the devil. Yeah. Satan's always looking for an opportunity. So, you know, if you've had struggles in the past with sexual perversion, then you put a guard there. You make up your mind, I am not going to open that door to the devil. If it's drinking, smoking, running around, being in places you ought not be in, you know, watching things you ought not be watching on television, make the decision. I'm not going to open that door to the devil, because he will use that to prolong that breakthrough, delay that breakthrough, and if possible, even stop that breakthrough. Yeah. So these are important keys. And then finally, number seven, and it actually could be at the top of the list, give yourself to prayer. You know, it's hard to get discouraged when you're constantly communicating with God. You don't think in terms of giving up when you're in constant communication with God. And to me, that's what prayer is. Mm-hmm. Prayer is not trying to convince God how bad this situation is. That's a waste of time. Yeah. He already knows everything we're going through. He sees everything we're going through. But to me, prayer is two-way communication. It's me talking to God, and it's me listening to God. Mm-hmm. And giving myself to prayer will keep me encouraged. It'll keep me built up. It'll keep me strong in my faith. Mm-hmm. And so I would strongly suggest that you add this to your checklist, that you give yourself to prayer. And another key, the quickest way to get your needs met is get your mind off of you and your needs and start praying for other people.
Amen.
You know, pray for other people and watch what will happen in your life.
Absolutely. And all of these things, I mean, these things that Brother Jerry you brought to us, these are not items we check off and say, did that. These are things we add to our daily lives.
Yes. You live every day.
Absolutely. It'll bring change. Beautiful, wonderful change. Praise God. We're out of time on this broadcast today, but don't go anywhere. Brother Jerry and I'll be back in just a moment.
Times are tough. Circumstances are difficult. Maybe you're discouraged. Perhaps you're facing impossible situations. Right now, you might be feeling like there's no hope. But no matter what you're facing, God sees you as a winner. He has determined a way to help you break through and live victoriously.
When the pressure increases, that simply means you got the devil right where you want him. I mean, you got him by the jugular vein now. If you can just stand your ground a little longer, then your breakthrough will come.
Jerry Savelle's new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win, includes 40 years of sermons and personal experiences that will encourage and inspire you. His insights in the Word will teach you how to succeed and give you a winning strategy to face your everyday challenges. Start building up your faith and walking in victory with Jerry Savelle's book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win.
Called to battle and destined to win. Experience God's breakthrough power in your life. This is Dr. Jerry Savelle's brand new book, and it's what we've been discussing for days now. And I'm telling you, you need to get a hold of this. This book is a compilation of some of Brother Jerry's most notable messages, some of the greatest stories you've told over the last 40 years in ministry. And some of these chapter titles are Wake Up, the Mighty Men and Women. Chapters in here on how to outwit your adversary. Looks Like a Job for El Shaddai. That
That's
was
one of your favorites,
one of my favorites. I've heard you preach it before. Get your hands on this book. You can order yours today. All the information you need, we've given that to you. We want to get these things into your hands. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for the great and mighty call that you've placed on our lives. Father, the call to preach the Word and the call to hear the Word and the call for all of us to do the Word. And we thank you for it, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, a week from today, Kenneth and Gloria, my grandparents, will be in Australia. They're beginning the Sydney Victory Campaign May 21st through the 23rd. Now, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, this is wonderful. We are celebrating 30 years on the continent of Australia. We are excited. God has done some big things in the last 30 years there, and He's continuing to do wonderful things. So if you're in that area, do what it takes to get in these meetings. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be around people who talk like you and act like you and believe like you. And you may be looking around your life saying, I think I'm the only one who thinks this stuff. Well, You're not. And go get in these meetings and meet a bunch of people that will do and say the same things you do. You're going to enjoy being a part of these. Now, these meetings will be streamed live online, kcm.org, or you can go back anytime after the meeting and download it and listen to it on demand. Do whatever it takes to get this word deep down into your heart. So for more information about that, please visit us at kcm.org. Now, remember to request your gift from my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. We want to offer you The Winning Attitude by Kenneth Copeland. It's going to go along great with what you're reading in Dr. Jerry's book. This book, I've told you this before, but it won't take you long to read it, all right? If you've never finished a book before, I promise you, you can finish this one. This is The Winning Attitude. Request your copy today. This is free of charge. We just want to get it in your hands, and this is a gift from Kenneth and Gloria. They want to bless you just to let you know how much we love you and appreciate you being a part of these broadcasts and listening and watching. And whatever you need to do to get a hold of this, we want to get it in your hands. Thank you so much for being a part of these broadcasts. Stay tuned tomorrow. We're going to finish this thing strong. You're going to love it. This is Jeremy Pearsons and Jerry Savelle. Like Kenneth and Gloria always say, Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website or call or write to us today. Remember to request your copy of The Winning Attitude, a book by Kenneth Copeland. It's our gift to you. Available today at kcm.org or by calling our special toll-free number, 888-326-0011. Or write to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, one book per household, please. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see the presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Center at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Come to the Southwest Believers Convention August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join us at the Days of Refreshing meeting September 13th to 18th at Eagle Mountain International Church right here at the Kenneth Copeland Ministries headquarters in Fort Worth, Texas. Then it's our Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign November 12th through 14th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
You can be everything that God says you can be, but it's going to take a determination on your part that you won't change in your life.